Oh, well, 617. I guess we can. But 617. Hard to sing to start off. Okay. Yeah. It's hard. It's not easy. Six 617, Battle Hymn of the Republic. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vineyards where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I have seen him in the watchfires of the hundred countless counts. He that builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteousness in the dimming of the lamps. Day is marching on. I can't see. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his being that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free, while God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have tonight to come and to sing praises unto thy name and to hear your word, Lord, and just participate in fellowship one with another. Lord, we just pray that you would be with us. We thank you that Pastor has been able to make it out tonight. We ask you to be with him, ease his pain, comfort his heart, and just be with him this evening. Be with those who could not make it, all those who are sick, Lord, and infirmed and not feeling well. Lift them up, Lord. Help them to get well so that they can come back and fellowship with us. Lord, we just thank you and praise you that you're so good to us, Lord. You said you'll never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. All we have to do is trust in thee. Trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you and you shall direct our path. Lord, we just thank you for that and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
What is that? Is it too much? Okay.
Thank you. I couldn't sing before. Now I can't sing, huh? You want to sing something else? Okay. Okay. How about we're gonna turn over to 6:38. I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. I love the Christ who died on Calvary, for he washed my sins away. He put within my heart a melody, and I know it's there to stay. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. 'Twill be my endless theme in glory, with the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song with glorious harmony when the courts of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. Amen. 632. 632. Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. whole. Amen. 200? 200. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love, even in death he remembered the thief hanging by his side. He spoke with love and compassion, then he took him to paradise. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry, there's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love.
Amen. One more and we'll have our offering. Brother Ramel, would you please come? 430
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit.
And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Brother Romel.
Do y'all know what happens when an irresistible force hits an immovable object? You're looking at one of them. The one that lost the fight. Anyway, I'd rather be here than in any trauma center in San Diego. But you know what? I claim that promise that I claimed back in 1994 when I had my first major surgery. It says that the Lord is with us. We put our minds on Him. Let this mind, that's not it. What is it? Huh? No, that's not the one either. Trust. Wait a minute. She's got it. He's got. That's it. That's it, Connie. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I don't like predicaments that put you in that spot, you know. But when you find yourself in that spot, you try that verse. That is the most wonderful verse in the Bible at certain times. At certain times. Now, I claimed that way back under 94, and I went into the, you know, under the sedation that they give you. And when I woke up, my mind was still on the Lord, and the operation was over with. I didn't feel a thing. Really? And that's what I'm supposed to be in. Yeah. And then here this past couple of days, it was the same way. I felt myself laying there and kind of thinking about my hurting places and such as this. And I took my mind off of them and put them on the Lord. And thinking about Him and about His goodness and graciousness, it is truly a transformation. Amen. It is. But anyway, I went through the same thing that Rita did. And I guess it was about 6 o'clock in the morning, and I got up, and I didn't know it, but my blood sugar was down to about in the low 50s. And whenever I sat up on the side of the bed, I didn't wait until I got my equilibrium back. And I kind of got over that initial dizzy shock that you have sometimes when you sit up after being down for a long time. So I stood up, took 2 steps. The second one took me to the bathroom door. And from there on, I fell like a log. And I guess my side hit it first, because it sure does hurt. And then my head hit it. That bothered me more than anything else, because I fractured my nose. They wanted to do plastic surgery on it, and I said, no, I've had this one for 89 years, and I'm going to keep it. Can you imagine that, wanting to do plastic surgery on my nose? I'd come out looking like Jimmy Durante used to. But anyway, I passed on that. And but anyway, they checked me out and everything, and there's not too much wrong with me that age doesn't account for, truly. Because if you live long enough, you're going to get old. And I kind of think that may be what's happening to me, a little bit of it anyway. But anyway, today they said I could come home. And I did. And I did. And listen, let me say this. I love your telephone calls. I didn't take any. There were so many coming in to the switchboard over there that kept it plugged up. And so they asked me if they could just, you know, not push them through. And so I said, okay. So that's why you got a busy signal or whatever you got when you called. They did let a guy by the name of Pat Patterson in. I don't know how he got through there. Maybe he told them he's connected with insurance some way. And they figured there's some money in it somewhere, so they let Pat through, and I did get to talk to him a minute. But anyway, I appreciate your prayers. I really do. That's what brought us through. And I was going to preach tonight, but since this guy over here is going off up to Oregon, I figured I could hear him one more time if you make it short and sweet. Anyway, we have appreciated the Bryants. What a blessing they have been to us since they've been in our church here. And to think that Brother Bryant and I have had parallel paths for the last 65 years, it seems like. Parallel paths, and they never crossed until they came over here, and we've been together ever since. I think it's wonderful. And he's going to be going up to Oregon. He's already told you that, and you already know it. But when he gets up there, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't go out there in the bushes somewhere and start shaking them and start another church. There you go. Amen. That's the attitude to have. If you can't find one that's right, get out there and build one that's right. That's the way to do it. Anyway, it's good to be here tonight. And I'd rather be here with you folks than anybody else I know. By the way, when you get in a predicament like I was, find you some Christian friends. Make some new friends. I'll tell you, I had them all. Most of them in there that were working were young, you know. Young. Some of them. Young. And I looked at them and says, goodness gracious, I was retired from the civil service at the county while you were still in diapers, you know, and such as that. What do you know about medicine? And such as that. We get that attitude sometimes, don't we? So, but anyway, I got to talking to the people that I had contact with there, and I met some outstanding Christian people. Now that's the wonderful thing about it. It's like going to heaven up there. When we get to heaven, everybody's going to be a Christian, right? And we can hear their testimony when they talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I had some wonderful Christians that are serving the Lord. The old boy that did the, I had a, went to the hospital and had a carotid. Or whatever it is, it was corroded or something. Corroded artery. Got two of them, one on each side. And anyway, I got to talking to this young man. Come to find out his dad was a Lutheran minister over in El Cajon, been there for 35 years. And he and I, I probably made somebody else late on their appointment, you know, but he and I had a wonderful time of fellowship talking about the Lord and in other places and people that I met too. It's just wonderful that God has his people scattered throughout our society. You're the salt of the earth, and that's what they are. And I'm not going to take up your preaching time. You're going to sing a song. He's going to sing a song for us tonight. He's going to sing my favorite, Zion's Hill. He didn't bring his guitar. He's already shipped it off. But he's going to try it with just the piano.
You go ahead, preacher, and you
Next
just talk.
Your Lord.
my preaching is like a ring of baloney. You know, you can cut it off most any place. All right. All right. Give me a key that I can have, and that's all I need. There waits for me a glad tomorrow, where gates of pearls swing open wide. And when I pass that veil of sorrow, I'll dwell upon the other side. Someday beyond the reach of mortal kin, someday God only knows just where and when. The wheels of mortal life shall stand still, and I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. Someday the dark clouds will be rifted, and all the night of gloom be past, and all life's burdens will be lifted. Day of rest shall dawn at last. Someday beyond the reach of mortal kin, someday God only knows just where and when. The wheels of mortal life shall stand still, and we shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. Thank you.
Amen.
Bob Light, missionary to Nome, Alaska, came to my church up in Santa Paula, California. I came back to California to preach. I met him in college and got to know him, was a friend. And when he came, he sang that song, sat down to the organ and played that song and sang it. And I've loved it ever since. Great song. Thank you for that. First Peter, chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 1. We'll start here. We're going to look at several things here. Through the stress that we have and the trials and the testings that come our way day by day by day, sometimes we forget who we really are. We get boxed into this world, and the world demands so much from us. But Peter, he reminds us of who we are, and we're going to talk about it tonight for just a little while. So Peter, an apostle of Jesus the Christ, to strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Now he said, I call these folks strangers, but I think when we get into the scriptures, we're going to see that they were brethren.
Amen.
I think so. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, that's being set apart by the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. He goes on to say we have an inheritance in verse 4. Incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through the faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You believe in security? You believe once saved, always saved?
Amen.
I got one amen anyway. He says, I give to you eternal life, and you shall never perish. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's security. Once saved, always saved. And so here, we who are saved are kept by the power of God. We're kept there through faith unto salvation. You got salvation, you got faith, you got it. You know what I quoted this morning? These things are written unto you, believe that in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the key to championship salvation and service of Christ. It's done with. It's over with. I know it. I believe it. I accept it. God said it, and that does it. So who are we? Turn to verse 18. We're going to skip some scripture, but we're going to get to verse 8. We'll get the message out to you tonight. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver, gold, from your vain citizenship or conversation, reserved by traditions from your fathers, but hath the blood, precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I'm having trouble seeing this word up here. Without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, that was manifest in these last times for you. You are who God wanted to save. You are the ones that he knew in the very beginning. Long before you were in your mother's womb, God knew about you. And he knew that he had prepared for you
salvation by grace through faith. So you are chosen of people, chosen by God to receive. But you know what? All have been chosen by God, but there are those that haven't answered yet. I had a young man in the services this morning. After service, I was talking to him. He wasn't sure. He's thinking about it. It's time to quit thinking. It's time to have action. Amen. You never know. We do not have a promise of tomorrow morning. We don't have a promise of tonight. Moment by moment, Jesus could come. Moment by moment, you could pass into eternity. Just like preacher said tonight, that moment could have happened. But you know what? God's got something else for you to do. You're still here. Yeah. Amen? You're still here. When he gets ready, he'll take you home. There's no doubt about it. Verse 21, whom by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and give him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. You're a people that have faith and hope in a wonderful, merciful, loving God. He loves us. He died for us, sent his son to die for us on the cross. And he is alive even at this present moment, as seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, here making intercession for the likes of you. Now he says in chapter 2 and verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. There's a thought in that. The Lord is wonderful. He's gracious. He loves you. He cares about you. And he sent his word that he might guide us and lead us and teach us about himself and who we really are, and what he has a purpose and plan for each one of us. God has given you special gifts. Gifts that are used for his glory and his honor. Not all are preachers, not all are teachers. But the gift that God has given you, that's the one that God's going to bless. He's going to use you. That will get you just as close to him as if you're a preacher or teacher for that. There's a gift, many, many gifts that God gives you. Gifts to play the piano. Gift of witnessing. Gift of giving. Gift of fellowship. There's so many gifts that God has given to us that we can use. The greatest gift of all is the gift of witnessing. Amen. That's a gift. Before I was saved, I couldn't talk to people. When I went to high school, I couldn't stand up before the people. My knees rattled and I was ready to, you know, my tongue just was stuck to my mouth. But God gave me a loose tongue. You're also, verse 4, to whom coming as unto living stones, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as living stones, lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus the Christ. See who you are? You're this people that he's talking about. Yes, he's talking to the strangers from these different areas, but it passes on down to us. The Word of God is there for our ensample also. But don't you know, inside of you and me and the Christian is that desire, it's there to tell others, to reach to them too. When you see a person that's burdened down, that's hard, that's crying, that is got just overwhelmed, don't you want to help them? Don't you? Sure you do. Where does that come from? Remember the priest that passed on by from the man that came down from Jerusalem and fell among thieves, and he lay in the street. Two of them just said, "See you later." But one of them reached down, took him down and said, "Take care of him, I'll pay you. If I owe you when I come back, I'll give you some more." That's what God wants. That's who we are, a people that cares, a people that's concerned, a people that can minister to others in a proper way whereby they might be lifted up and strengthened. And that's what the Word of God does, is to lift us up and to strengthen us. As you learn from the Word of God who you really are, you have that assurance that you can speak to others, help them, raise them up to a higher level. But remember this, you can never raise them any higher than what you have gotten or what you have become. Chapter 2, going over to verse 9, I think it is here. I'm having trouble seeing up here. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of God, of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in the past times were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Who are you? Your chosen generation by the Lord himself, called out of darkness into his marvelous light, taken from the back street and set on golden highways that lead into heaven. A priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvel. By the way, if we do that, we're going to reach people for Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. If you can love them, if you can draw them, if you can show them this is better deal, is it better deal? They'll come because they really want to come. They really want to. I have a Jewish man that comes by my house. He comes and sits in the swing with us. His mom and his dad in Russia were in concentration. They were starved. They were beaten. And he remembered that as a boy. And these were those who claimed to be religious. He does not understand the difference between religion and Christianity. But being a Jew, and they were Jewish, they suffered greatly. And that hate is in his heart. When I first talked to him, hatred came out. Don't talk to me about religion. Don't talk to me about Christianity. But then he kept coming back, wooing him little by little, being careful not to disturb him. The last time I talked to him, he knows we're going to Oregon. He said, I want to give you a gift, but I don't know what to give you. I looked him in the eye and I said, the greatest gift that you can give me is that you would know my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he looked at me and I could see in his eyes he was going to think about it. First time I'd seen any reaction whatsoever that he might begin to search. I don't know if I'll have time enough again this week to see him or not. I think it will be. Yeah. This is not the first Jewish man I've dealt with. No. I've had two or three of them, and I want them to Christ. But it takes very, very carefully. By the way, when you are dealing with other people, be very careful. Very careful. What you say. You don't tell a person, well, if you don't accept Christ, you're going to hell. You don't tell them that. You tell them about heaven. You tell them about Jesus, what he did. You can tell them Jesus was a Jew, and I did. You can tell them good things. And they'll understand what you're saying. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You have this power. It's yours. God gave it to you. Use it for the glory of God. A holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. One of the greatest things that you can do is tell other folks, if they're lost, how you got saved. Apostle Paul was great at that. Kings and priests, he told them how that the Lord reached him. You can do the same. Use your salvation and your conviction to him. Let's run down to verse 21 here in this same chapter, chapter 2. For even thereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Walking in the steps of the Savior. We sing a song like that, don't we, preacher? Amen. Walking in the Lord's steps. Don't go in front of him. Follow him. Follow him. You get in front of him, you're going to lose your way. He will lead if you will follow. And he wants you to follow. Who, when he reviled, reviled not. Verse 23. Not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Things go wrong, commit yourself to the Lord again. Commit yourself to God. Look to him for guidance and leadership and direction. How to handle the case. Think through it. As I said this morning, don't turn your back on your problems. Face them and deal with them. And you'll win in Christ Jesus. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy people. You got power that you sometimes don't even know you have. Use your power that God has given you. Verse 24, who his own self bare out sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, that by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were his sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Summarizing this here, passage of scripture tonight that Peter's give us. The position of the Christian believer in Christ Jesus were the church of the living God, called out, elected people, called out assembly by the Holy Spirit, a generation of grace, not of law. We don't operate by the law. We operate by grace, love, and mercy. If anything needs to be, we need today is we need love. Our world is hurting. Our nation is hurting. Our community is hurting. We have hurt on every hand. You can name your neighbor. You can name the person. Even you yourself may have a hurt. And a hurt goes to the heart. And the heart is burdened. We're chosen to carry out the great commission of our Lord, which is the good news. Go ye into all the world. Teach them. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them again to observe those things which I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you to the end of the age. You have the power of God, so use it in the manner that you can. Salvation by grace through faith in the sacrifices of God's Son for all people. Ambassadors of the kingdom of Christ in a world in chaos. Chosen to the task. And there again, if God called you and God saved you and God sent you out, you are able for the task that He has put before you. Amen. You're a peculiar people. Not a funny people, but translated into His own people, set apart by the Holy Spirit. Called of God, set apart unto a good work. So, ye are the sheep going. Ye were a sheep going astray, but now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. That's who you are. You're somebody. Somebody that God loves, somebody God saves, somebody that God sent out to carry on the good news that He loves and He cares. And He will guide and lead and direct in all things if you allow Him to. Let me say this to you as we're closing. We're going to Oregon. Yes, our families are there. My wife's already there. I'll be leaving probably Saturday or Sunday this week. We're going to Oregon, and I don't believe I'm going there for me. I'm going there for God for some reason or another. I don't know what it is. But out of the 8 moves that I've made in the 8 churches that God has used my wife and I in, I never one time ever was doubtful of the move that we made. And I'm not doubtful about this move either, preacher. I believe God's in it, and I'm looking forward to it. It's been wonderful to be with you, your people. We love you dearly. We know you love us. You show it. And that's what we're talking about tonight. God bless you.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for these words of grace that Brother Bryant has brought to our hearts. We thank you that your hand is still upon him. The Holy Spirit of God is still empowering his ministry. And we know, Lord, that you will continue to use him until you call him and say, come up hither. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had together, the fellowship that we've shared with the Bryant family. And we can only thank you for that which is behind us, but we look forward with great expectation to the future that you have for them. There's somebody that's lost right now that he's going to be able to save and bring into the kingdom of God. And what's one soul worth? It's worth a lot if it's mine. We know that you have a purpose. We know you have a plan and a will for his life. And we pray that you will continue to use him and Lois. Restore her to her music ministry. We know what a great asset that is, and we know what a great love she has for music and sharing the joy of singing with others. So Lord, our hearts will go with them. Our minds and our prayers will go with them to support them in the move that they're going to make. And we expect to hear from them and hear good things about how you're going to use them in their new surroundings. We thank you for this message that he's brought to us tonight. What a joy and a privilege it is to share the Word of God. And those who love it are eager to share it with others who do not know it. Use us as your ambassadors to further the cause of Christ. We pray your blessings upon each individual here in this congregation, that you will minister to each and every life's particular need, even now. And we trust you. We've trusted you with our souls, our eternal immortal souls. Why not trust you for the few days that we have remaining on this old earth till Jesus comes again or calls us home? Lord, we pray that you will use each one of us, our testimony. We each know someone that other members of our church don't. And we need to reach them because they become our responsibility, actually, to take the Word of God to them. So watch over us, keep us, be with those who are sick, minister to their ills. I thank you for what you did in my life, and I give you glory for it, and I give you thanks. There are lessons to be learned in every experience that we have. And I pray that some of the lives that we have touched will be benefited by it, that they will be strengthened in the Lord and dedicated and surrendered to Him. We ask you to continue to bless our church in every activity that it's engaged in, for your name's honor and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name, and for his sake, amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for coming.